right, hello and welcome to Daily-ish for Tuesday, February 7th. It's currently a minus 21 Celsius, which feels like minus 30 Celsius with the wind chill. I don't know what that is in Fs, but it's a effing a lot, I think. Minus 22 Fs, if you're in the F world. This episode of Daily-ish brought to you by FeedPress. Visit feed.press/dailyish today to try out FeedPress for your podcast or blog RSS feed analytics needs. And you can use promo code Daily-ish during checkout to get 10% off your first year of service. And also by Patreon supporters, possibly like you, patreon.com/iChris is where you can check out how you can support the podcasting efforts we do here. Good stuff a little more directly with a buck or two or 50 or whatever a month. I'm attempting to stream live to our Twitch page just for fun because I like to make things complicated. And unbeknownst to me, my guest for this episode is without video. So instead, the lucky viewers on our Twitch page, which will also eventually somehow make its way to our YouTube channel or something, get some animated GIFs of Dave or a facsimile of Dave, my guest. So Dave Rupert, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave Rupert here, Austin, Texas, 29 C's down here. I had to do this app to convert it, but 29 C's.
So like that almost a 60 degree swing.
Yeah, opposite. It's like we're the opposite weather. It's 85 degrees in Austin, Texas. Oh my goodness.
Which we're complete opposite computers too, I guess. That's why you're on this podcast. Justification.
Not without its trials and tribulations. But yes, we are together. Finally, Skypes and microphones are working. It's good to be here. Thanks, Chris.
I need to thank you publicly. I think I have already actually on Twitter, but you were my first guest on my other podcast, Show Me Your Mic, where we talked about podcasting and which has since been dormant for a little while. But thank you for being guest there, and thank you for being my I'm sort of doing this thing where I'm bringing on air quotes consultants or correspondents in different areas. So you're my Windows, formerly Mac user correspondent, I guess, if this was a TV news show.
That's great. Yeah.
That'd be your title, your little bumper thing.
I can add that in post.
Yeah, exactly. And you may also hear a four-year-old screaming because my daughter is sick and stuffy-nosed and very whiny. So that's also...
Oh, I got maybe one of those heading into my office mid-interview here.
So. Sweet. Awesome. It's a good thing. So what I was wanting to talk to you about is because you've been, over the last year and a bit, been making the switch from Mac to Windows. Is that a new thing? Like, were you ever a Windows person before? Or is this like a light?
So back in the day when I was 15 or so, I got my first computer, a Gateway 75 megahertz Gateway computer. And it maybe had 500. Oh gosh, I'm going to say it wrong. It was like 500 megs of RAM or memory or something like that. And then I, went through like a year of college and I was 19 or so. And I splurged and got a like 133 hertz Pentium Gateway computer as well. Yeah. And that had like 756 megabytes or something weird. That was sort of my computing for a long time. Learned a lot about computers and websites using PCs. But in about 2002, I bought my first Mac, a laptop, the MacBook Pro. And it was the aluminum one with the kind of white binding. Sure everyone's remembering this now. Very square. Computer that served me for quite a few years. I basically like worked this job and I think I bought it on a credit card or like a loan from like my insurance company or something. And I just paid it back like last year. Nice. but it's like a very low interest loan. Thank goodness. But
long-term low interest. That's the key.
Yeah. And then, I finally bought that last year, but, that computer went with me to foreign lands, took it to Japan, used it religiously. It was just such a great computer. This was, I think, OS 10.2. So 10.1 was just a little rough, right? On OS 10. And so 10.2, it started getting better. Tiger then came out 10.3, right? I'm making these up, these animals and numbers up, but
you're just driving past the zoo right now, right?
yeah. Horse, OS X horse. It was but then that computer suffered a drop, which is terrible. It just like fell out of the trunk of a car in a case and just like crank and like broke the hinges off. It was bad. It was already like in poor performing shape. But then I got like another one, another MacBook Pro 2006 MacBook Pro, I guess it would have been. And then that, I used that for a really long time, but that was the version where the batteries would kind of explode. And I'm not sure if that was like because I was, I bought it in Japan and then I came to America and used like different power. And so maybe it was like swelling the batteries, but it was that version. And then, a couple more MacBooks. I think the last one I bought was in 2013, the kind of, dare I say, the last good MacBook Pro. I did try it out in a MacBook Air, but I really, the Wi-Fi on it was really bad. But I used the Macs until 2015, where 2015 or 2016, 2015, summer 2015. Right. And then, so kind of with the Shop Talk show, which you help out doing all the production stuff for it. Thank you, Chris. But the Shop Talk show, we kind of did a stat analysis and noticed that like 50% of our listeners were PC users, so kind of worldwide. And this was sort of a shock to me because every web developer I know uses a Mac. And our answers when somebody's like, oh, should I get Sketch or something like that for my website? I think our like general response was like, buy a Mac, and that's okay. But, somebody who lives in, India or Indonesia or something like that, that could be a month or two salary, quite a bit of money to buy like this big aluminum computer. So it sort of like was like, oh, this is maybe a bad answer for me. So I kind of like talked to some people at Microsoft, Ray Bango, and we kind of hatched a plan where I would try to switch to Windows for a year, sent out a Surface Pro, not the Surface Book, but the Surface Pro, kind of with the flip cover, Surface Pro 3. And I used that for like a full year. And I stuck with Windows. I decided to stick with Windows. And since that kind of turn, I think it was in November, December, I built a PC, like built my first PC. Like this is my first PC build, but like first like PC, big desktop PC since 2002, right, or something like that. Yeah.
Right. So that was like a quick tour of every single computer you've ever owned. We're out of time now, actually. So
yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for having me on.
I should know better. Inviting a podcaster on who knows how to talk. That's my fault. Yes. Yeah. My bad. But I like on DaveRupert.com, the blog, which I'm a longtime reader of, April, sorry, I can't read my numbers. It's hashtag Dave goes Windows ? And then the next post that I found anyways is August is Dave is going Windows. And you did it right around Windows launch of Windows 10, I think. That's when sort of the Surface thing happened and stuff.
Yeah, so. I was kind of on like a beta of Windows 10, like the insider preview, which was good to go, but it's they're not going to migrate, and enterprise people over to it. They were just kind of letting people use it, which is kind of a cool feature of Windows. I know there are Mac betas and iOS betas, but this was like kind of a year long, like, hey, get on the Windows insider track and we'll give you updates. And you can kind of watch us develop it, and they're still doing it. And it's good. There's good builds and bad builds, which could kind of surprise you. But, it was kind of like pre Windows 10. I was on Windows 10, and Windows 10 is pretty good. I don't know if you've used it, but
I've used it a little. I have an office that I do some support for. Hi, Dad. And due to being in the financial industry, I have to install Windows, you know, via Parallels a couple times for some of the folks there. And yeah, actually, it's surprisingly good, and not like, you know, Mac users tend to have the like snobby snoot. Stick their nose up at it kind of view of Windows, and but actually haven't used it in years. And So I think definitely it's worth a look if you're not, especially if you're stuck in Windows 98 as the last time maybe you used Windows. It has changed a bit.
Yeah, I'll go on YouTube's and I'll watch, you know, YouTube things, gamer things or whatever, and I'll see somebody on Windows 7 and I'm just like, no. Like it's gotten so much better since then. And I just don't understand why you'd put yourself through that to be on Windows 7 unless you had to be.
Yeah. So skipping aside some of the, like, there's obviously a whole discussion about developing and being a web nerd on Windows versus Mac. And that was kind of the original motivation for you doing this switch, but just more on the personal side. And that's kind of where the angle I'm curious about, because folks can go, like you said, go listen to shoptalkshow.com and hear a bunch of the sort of dev talk, I guess, around that. And I'll have links to a couple episodes in the show notes, but just on the personal side, what kind of piqued my interest in this is watching along and obviously listening along on Shop Talk Show, but watching along on Twitter and stuff, and then reading some of the blog posts as you're ordering parts. And all of a sudden it like rekindled this like thing from me back in the day when I used to do that same thing. I used to work at a computer store for a while and helping people, like saying, no, you don't want to buy the HP thing. You want to build your own and we'll help you do it. And then you can upgrade it and all that kind of stuff. And then switching to Mac for a while, shortly thereafter when it came out, kind of around the same time as you, and because it was simple and it was kind of nice to be able to just do the thing rather than fiddling with the computer the whole time. But as you got sort of started putting the pieces together, did it kind of rekindle, or did you said you never really built your own PC back in the day? Even it was like, well, pre-built, or did you use a bit of upgrading back in the day?
Yeah, I did a bit of upgrading, but back then the sophistication was like you put a sound card in it, or right, you put a new RAM in it, and they only came in like silicon wafers, green silicon wafers, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're talking about building a PC now, it's like, oh, you're going to put RAM in it? What do you want? DDR3, DDR4, DDR5000, you know, DDR4 3200, DDR4 2600, DDR4 2133. What are you doing, man? What's your MOBO? Tell me about your MOBO. Your MOBO, what's it support? Has it got M2 on it? Has it got SATA? Okay.
MOBO is short for motherboard, I hope.
Yeah, motherboard. Gotcha. And then what kind of cooler are you doing? AIO? Are you doing air cooled? What are you doing? And so it's just, there's so much stuff to learn. And I kind of, it's almost like you need a mentor or a guide to get through it. Cause there's, I mean, you have to watch a bunch of YouTubes, and even then you'll mess it up. That's what I learned today as I was suffering blue screens of death. And I think I've messed it up, but yeah, there's so much stuff that goes on. There is kind of, for those who like aren't interested in computers, I guess, like you have the motherboard, that's what like all the circuits and stuff that you kind of imagine like the inside of a computer being. And then you have these like sticks, these RAM sticks, and that's what stores like your memory, like how many apps you can have running at once. I have 32 gigs of RAM in my system right now. And it's pretty fire hot. I actually unplugged one because I was debugging a thing, and it was like, this is still very, very fast. But 32, and then you have a CPU, you choose what CPU you put inside the motherboard, and then you have to cool the CPU. And I went with like a radiator, like you might have on your car with fans, and then it water cools. It sends like, there's two tubes that go to my CPU, an in and an out tube, and that water cools my CPU.
Yeah, and for anybody who's watching, there's a little video, a looping video on your blog that, again, I'll link to.
Oh, yeah.
That the live viewers can see you sort of touring or whatever, powering it on for the first time, I think, is what you're
powering on. And yeah, and then there's a graphics card inside of there. And that's maybe my favorite piece, but that's the juice. That's like what lets you do sweet games is graphics cards, which, you know, that I kind of did the research in it. like it was barely a thing. There's a thing called a Voodoo 3 or something back in the day, but it was just a, but it was prohibitively expensive. I mean, it was like the cost of another computer. And, but it was like, do all your graphics only in some games, but now most games leverage the GPU to render really quickly. So it's kind of amazing what like you can do. And then I have it sitting in a big glass case, like a case with like a glass panel on the side. And then I, just because I'm a total dork, I like bought LEDs and now it lights up. So like Christmas lights. So I went full dork. So
yeah, see, that's the thing. That's what's kind of like both terrifying to me at the idea of it, because as I was reading and following along, it kind of, like I said, it kind of rekindled some of that old stuff that I used to do. And I was at one, on the one hand, kind of like, I want to dive back in right away. And then I, like I was saying in the previous episode of this podcast, that like I have kids now who are getting to the age where they're using computers, and but they don't have any idea what goes on inside. And I feel like this would be such an awesome project, and this is also how I could maybe justify it to my wife that we should start building a computer again. And then the gaming angle too is like a whole nother realm of like fun and excitement, because on the Mac it's getting better, but it still is, it's not as well. Overwatch is the thing, it's not on Mac, and so
that's the
fun one. But so that's I guess when you're like, there's, and now like something like PCPartPicker.com, I think is the site, right? PCPartPicker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where it's like for nerds building, like I remember back in the day, like stupid spreadsheets of like, okay, if I put this video card in, it's going to cost this much and all that kind of stuff, and trying to figure that all out myself. And now like you can share parts lists of your PC, and like you're someone, if they wanted to, maybe now it's probably a little bit out of date, I guess, but could order exactly what you had or mm-hmm. ordered roughly. And even like on there, I just have to geek out a bit on just the way that they did this programmatically on the site, where they have their pre-built site systems, but they'll like dynamically get you the best price on RAM depending on what, and you know, who has the best price at the time and what kind of RAM or hard drive, like if Seagate has the better hard drive price versus whatever other brands are. But did you like you kind of said, you sort of almost need a mentor now going back into this, where it's like, I know Core Intel has an i7 chip and I know they have an i5 chip, but like, I don't know which one is which and where. Cause again, I'm like, I've been sort of dumbed down in the Mac world for so long, which isn't a knock against Mac users, but cause I am one, but I used to know all that stuff. And now it feels like it's like a whole, there's like 10 extra levels of language depth to each part that wasn't there before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it was, you know, in mid-2000s where Apple kind of gave up on the specs game. They kind of, and they sort of, you know, they pitched it to you. They're like, don't worry, baby. It's faster, baby. Don't just
it's going to be okay.
It's fine, baby. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's matter, it's just about, you know, is it a good experience? And to some degree they're right. Like they had Snow Leopard after Leopard was a whole release that was just performance oriented, like just purely performance improvements. And that's, I mean, that went miles, you know, for like squeezing the most you can out of what turns out to be lower end hardware. You know, and then they keep costs down, but it just the outside, the glass, the aluminum, that's all very high end, but the internals is actually kind of low end hardware. So it doesn't do things like Overwatch and kind of these modern games and stuff like that. So you kind of had to like get back up to speed. And so I leaned heavily on, you know, my friends, Yan Wang and Zach Meyer. I just was like, grilled them for months, man. I can't make a decision very quickly. But I grilled them for months about like what I should do. And I actually took from a YouTube show called Linus Tech Tips. They had this like, let's build a gaming PC for under $1,500 or something, you know, for like the cost of a MacBook Air or something like that. And they built out and so I forked that list on PC Part Picker and kind of started building out my machine. And I kind of made some upgrades here and there, but for about $1,600, $1,700 probably, with some upgrades post that, or $1,800, I was able to build like one of the fastest machines I could possibly think of. Like it's just, it's a beast and it's going to work for a really long time. And if I just chuck like $400 a year at it, I can keep at the like cutting edge of performance for kind of indefinitely. So once I did the math on that, and I'm not a super budget conscious guy, but that was like, oh wow, this thing is like a 10-year thing. I'll have this for 10 years. I'll use this computer or in whatever Franken parts I add to it for about 10 years, which is really, really cool. I'm really kind of excited about that because I haven't had that, you know, it's almost, I hate to admit my own consumerism, but it's been like a, you know, it's been like 2-year disposable laptop basically for the last 10 years. So,
yeah, which that's what, when I saw your sort of build, and I knew, like, you know, as a Mac user, it's not like I was like, came into the Windows side and was like, what? They've had this for this much, like, you know, $1,200 gets you the same spec. Like, I knew all that kind of stuff. And it's not like I still think the Mac ecosystem and the computers are great and all that kind of stuff. But I, especially on the laptop side, it has felt, and we won't go too far down the like paranoid about Apple laptops discussion, but like, it has felt a bit like, okay, you're kind of lagging around and I don't really need touch bars. I just want it like a really super awesome computer. But when I, yeah, like reading that, as far as how much it would cost you to build. And I, like, just a year ago, I picked up a 27-inch iMac. That's what I'm recording this on and talking to you through, and fairly loaded
up. Which is
up.
A good machine. That's a good machine.
Yeah. But it is like, when I think it was like, because I loaded up with 16 gigs of RAM and a slightly better video card because I wanted to do video streaming and, you know, and video editing stuff and podcast editing, and wanted to be able to, you know, if I screw up a export of a long Shop Talk show with 8 people on it or whatever and all the audio files, I wanted to go fast. So I was like, done. And so it was like $3,500, I think, or something, Canadian anyways. And but then seeing, you know, 6 months later, like, just like what you said, like what you built, $1,500 to $2,000. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can buy for $1,500, Dave. I don't know if you know that, but
well, especially Canadian.
And so, not that, again, it's like, I love the Mac system, and I like software wise, especially. It still would take a lot for me to like leap back into Windows, because even watching along, and there are stuff I know that you're like sort of like frustrated by, not just developer stuff or whatever, where the apps just kind of aren't there in the same caliber. But yeah, $1,500 does go a long way towards you know, surviving with a different Twitter client or whatever. I guess the money,
for sure. And that's, you know, I think it's just, you know, there are pros and cons. Like, your Mac, you're probably not going to have kernel panics and heavy support problems. And if you do, your like immediate community can probably help you solve them, because there's kind of a strong, you know, web tech community around Macs. You know, if you're having some problem with something, usually there's some command line switch you can flip to get it to do the thing you want. However, you know, with Windows, man, I've had problems with this machine, and I'm trying to be very transparent about it. But it's just daily blue screens of death. Daily, like, I'll be playing. I play Overwatch with some friends, Jan and Zach, who I mentioned, and this guy Juan, and we play, and then all of a sudden, my computer freezes up, drops, goes to a blue screen of death, and it's like I'm out of the match, and it's a bummer, because, you know, I have spent money on this, but more, you know, kind of like, it's more like I spent time. It's like I built a motorcycle or restored a motorcycle and it's still kind of broken, you know, and you're just like, why is it still broken? Because I put the monies into it to fix it, or the time, and I don't understand why it's broken. And then there's no Geek Squad. There's no, you know, maybe I could do a Geek Squad, but there's no like Geek Squad, or there's no Apple Genius Bar that I can take this thing to be like, hey, fix this. I'm crying. I don't know what's wrong. I need it fixed. I can't be on client calls, and I can't play video games, which is the worst part. So could I please just get this fixed? And there's no one there for that. So you have to like kind of suss out this information, or like, you know, kind of just trial and error, which is the worst way to fix something, but or the most painful way to fix something.
Right. Which is why I remember that's why I was like, oh, the Macs are kind of nice because you don't have to worry about like the memory is stuff that's tested for a Mac. And so it only just works with a Mac. And then, you know, that was kind of like my motivation along with some of the video editing software at the time and all that kind of stuff that sucked me into the Mac ecosystem, I guess.
I mean,
but yeah, like, I'm getting like the cold sweats of like having to like turn on the machine, waiting for it to boot up and then realizing, oh, memory's in backwards or whatever. And yeah.
Oh, I mean, there for Mac, there's one brand of RAM, like it's crucial, and it's been that way since forever, you know. And then there's one brand of like hard drive, and it's probably a Samsung or something. But there's, you know, it's,
ironically,
it's, yeah. Well, it's just been that way forever, and then they kind of. They have locked down their own processors now. They, you know, they're using like the A chips and the M chips and stuff. And so they don't even use like Intel anymore. Some do, but like it's just getting kind of more simple and streamlined and integrated into, you know, if your computer falls apart, you don't replace like a CPU. You have to replace the whole board, you know, and that contains everything, your dedicated graphics and all that. So,
yeah.
It's not without its like ups and downs, and you know, I've been complaining on Twitter and people are just like, oh man, you just need to try harder. But then some people are like, that's exactly why I left Windows after like 10-20 years. It just I couldn't deal with it anymore, and I'm feeling that because it's like some days I'm just like, I'm going to Linux. This is a Linux machine now or something. Or I'm just going to buy a Chromebook. You know, that's where I like when you're angry and upset, you know, that's where you want to go. I could go back to Mac too, but you know, it's just, what's weird is now I'm so kind of on the other side now. I'm not sure there's much in there that offers me much benefit, you know?
Right.
Because it was very much going to the place where I just needed the Linux shell or the Unix shell on Mac. And so, yeah, I don't know. Here I am. So.
And so like one of the things you mentioned in the your post, sort of the finale of your post anyways, and that was now not quite a year ago, I guess 6 months ago or whatever, but was, you know, on detangling yourself from the Apple services, your music and stuff like that. And I don't know how much, we don't need to go into huge detail about all that, but like that is one of the things I know now is like I have movies I've bought in iTunes. And so I guess there's iTunes for Windows still, I think, right?
There's iTunes for Windows.
Yeah.
There's also like a Windows Store thing, and that, you know, it's weird. I'm all over the place, and I don't think I'm happy either way. like there's Windows Store stuff, which is nice because it goes to my Xbox. So
yeah,
I know that sounds weird, but it's kind of cool because I can at work, I've like done this like zero times, but at work I could like, cash in my Bing credits, because you get Bing credits if you use Bing and Edge, you know, cash in my Bing credits, rent a movie on the Windows Store. It'll shoot over to my Xbox, like, you know, and it's available on my Xbox immediately. So, or maybe not immediately, but like I could like do all the purchasing for like a kid's movie I'm going to rent like here before I even go into the house from my shed. And, you know, like I have it like that end of the ecosystem is cool, but you could also do that on your phone with an Apple TV, if that's your setup, you know, with iOS and Apple TV OS, whatever they call it, TV OS.
And that is the Xbox is a great sort of gateway drug, which that's what we picked up over Christmas here with the kids was the Xbox One. And that is kind of like goes Windows thing plus getting the Xbox One and like just getting exposed to how Microsoft has done what do they call it, their family settings or whatever, right? Where mm-hmm. I can go on I think my kids are a little bit older than yours, but like our oldest is 9, and so I set them up with an Xbox Live account, and it's kind of this painful thing, you sort of jump through hoops and setting up an email or whatever and stuff. But then once it's set up, I can like programmatically or whatever on the settings say he's only allowed to use the Xbox between these hours or this many hours per week or whatever. And then it'll just like prompt them. I tested out one time. It just pops up a little thing and saying, Xbox time limit is up or whatever and shuts it down. And so, which is kind of like, I mean, there's parenting methods aside, there's kind of like a lot of fun in that because it's, we can sort of blame the Xbox for running out of time. And, but also the,
oh,
the
I mean, are you kidding me? As a parent, that's solid gold. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you like of a 9-year-old too. You're just like, oh, you'd like, some more time on the old Xbox. Well, you could cash in some chore credits and yeah. get that, or, exactly. you know, go clean your room and yeah, you can Minecraft till your eyes bleed. But like,
yeah,
but yeah, it's like, what a cool system.
No compared with how, like at the exact same time, we're also setting up this old MacBook Pro laptop with like the parental controls on the Mac, not old, like it's running current OS, but older hardware, but, and the parental controls don't save, like it repeatedly will not save the parental control. So it's like for my wife and I, we're like, here's the Microsoft side that just seems to work, which is Apple's old thing of like, it just works. And on the Apple side, we're like, cannot get this thing to like, so that, you know, he's not watching porn on YouTube or whatever. Not, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you gotta be careful. Yeah, be careful. My kid, my son's 3. He watches like how to make your own lightsaber with duct tape videos on YouTube, and it's fine. It's great. But that autoplay kicks on, and then all like in 4 videos, he's watching just God knows what. I mean, yeah. just like triple X, like weird YouTube, basically. And you're just like, what happened? Like you were watching Star Wars and now you're watching like teens cussing and you know, yeah. you're just like, ah, oh, this isn't what I signed up for. I have to like babysit you being babysat by YouTube. Ah, oh, this is the word. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I think those like how you manage family people, you know, I think that's like a big thing. And I'm actually looking at this setting in Windows. You can give your kids an account with websites and time limits and stuff like that, which is a yeah. cool feature. So
it feels yeah. like the Microsoft side, they get that families are actually families. Whereas on the Apple side, it always feels like families means cool, good looking folks going out surfing, and their hipster dad or whatever is along for the ride. And like, nobody really has kids that mess around with this stuff.
Or like, I mean, it's not bad, but like their incentive is actually, wouldn't it be cooler if you owned 2 iPads? For right. one for each kid,
yeah,
you know, like they like yeah. that a lot more than developing software to, you know, and not, you know, I'm saying it's not easy to roll that out. So I don't want to be too mean, but like the incentives for them align to like, just buy another iPad, make all your kids happy. And, you know, like, but then how do you lock it down anyway? But
yeah. Okay, I'm trying to think. I think the have you with going back to your computer finally, and then we'll wrap this up. But
sure,
in the end, I guess you sort of alluded to the idea of like you're not sure if you're happier or just happy. And so, would you do it all again? I guess in that sense. And any advice for somebody like myself or anyone else listening who's like just wanting to toy around with the idea of going back to their roots, as it were, in the Windows world.
Yeah, so I think I'm happier. It's not been without its challenges, but I think I'm finally like narrowing down what the problems are. Like I went through a big BIOS reset, blah blah blah, like big like configuration change today, and so I'm gonna see if that makes a difference. Like the only way to test that is to do copious amounts of gaming, which I'm up for the task, Chris. I will just do my best to play Overwatch until my eyes bleed. So
yeah, we need to have an Overwatch discussion too.
Oh, we should. I'd be happy to. And then so if you're getting like, I think I'm happy. I think like the OS for me, like it's way more my aesthetic, kind of flat design, which is not cool anymore, but like flat, you know, kind of simple typography led design and architecture, iconography, like really like kind of, I don't know, just kind of basic iconography. I think it's like, it's the design language I would choose if I were kind of doing things. And that for me, when I go like back to my Mac, I'm like, ooh, this is like not like me actually. It's kind of rainbow, really rounded, really shady, like shading everywhere, gradients. And I'm just like, this is not me. And, but like the Windows vibe is like very me. We'll call it flat design because that's kind of what it is. But yeah. That design language, I really like. I like what people are starting to kind of do with it. That's what I like about it. I think I'm happier here, even though I'm daily challenged by my computer falling over. So, you know,
which might be like for anybody, like if you, there's, I guess, separating Windows from custom hardware, right?
Yeah.
Because like if someone bought a off the shelf, whatever the current off the shelf thing is that you buy.
Yeah,
probably
like
if you
bought like a Surface or a Surface Book Pro or even like a Dell, Razer, all these are good machines. They probably have less problems, like because they would just not be companies anymore if they're having these problems. So it's like once I separate out like, oh, this is actually a problem with my specific machine.
Right.
You know, I think I am happy if I can get this thing fixed. So, but if you're building your own, if you want to get into it, you know, not everyone has $1,600 laying around. So it's not like prohibitive. You know, I think you can, if you're a deal hunter and you're really aggressive, you can like go on that PC part picker and you could probably build a machine for like $800. I think. You know, I have friends that have done that and like they come out with a full computer for $800, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think so the guide, cause I was looking at some of the guides on there just, you know, as you do and Modest Gaming Build, they price at $826. So whatever that means exactly. But even entry level gaming build is $560. So it's not, it looks to me like stats wise anyways, it doesn't look amazing, but it obviously can play games. You're not going to be 60 frames per second, you know, on the ultra or whatever settings on the game, but yeah, even like their great gaming build is just over $1,000. So,
right. I think you'd be very close and just again, like just save up some bucks and chuck a bit more at that graphics card. And I think you'd get there. So, So there, and then if you're thinking about it, find a mentor, do not go alone, and make sure you kind of like, ask questions. I'm happy to try to answer whatever, but again, I will try to help anyone out as much as possible, but I do have a broken computer.
So you might Dave may not be the best mentor. Yeah.
You might want to find a better guru there. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate you coming on and letting me sort of live a little bit of nostalgia through you. Where can folks...
Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it?
I'm sitting and looking at I have an old iMac that I need to sell before I do anything else with computers and clean up some of the stuff. But I know I'm being responsible. That's annoying. Where can folks, if they want to follow you, you're on Twitter at Davitron5000...
Dave. That's right, DavidTron5000, DaveRupert.com, and ShopTalkShow.com if you build websites.
There you go. And thank you, folks, for listening. This is a little longer episode than usual, but it was a good trip down memory lane for me, so hopefully you enjoyed it. And there'll be a video version, I think, if I hit all the buttons right. We're experimenting with streaming live video over to Twitch, twitch.tv/goodstuff_FM, and then we have a YouTube channel as well, which I'll figure out what it is and put the video there. I'm Icarus on Twitter, and thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. Bye.